And now Chapter 7, The Puranic Literatures. Sutta Goswami said, Sumantu Rishi, the authority on the Atharva Veda, taught his Samhita to his disciple Kabanda, who in turn spoke to Patya and Veda Darsha. Shuklayani, Brahmabali, Modosha, and Pipalayani were disciples of Veda Darsha. Hear from me also the names of the disciples of Patya. My dear Brahman, they are Kumuda, Shunaka, and Jajali, all of whom knew the Atharva Veda very well. Babru and Saindavayana, disciples of Shunaka, studied the two divisions of their spiritual master's compilation of the Atharva Veda. Saindavayana's disciple, Savarna, and disciples of other great sages also studied this edition of the Atharva Veda. Nakshatra Kalpa, Shantikalpa, Kashyapa, Angiras, and others were also among the Acharyas of the Atharva Veda. Now, O sage, listen as I name the authorities on Puranic literature. Triyarani, Kashyapa, Savarni, Akritavrana, Vaishampayana, and Harita are the six masters of the Puranas. Each of them studied one of the six anthologies of the Puranas from my father, Ramaharshana, who was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. I became the disciple of these six authorities and thoroughly learned all their presentations of Puranic wisdom. Ramaharshana, a disciple of Vedavyas, divided the Puranas into four basic compilations. The sage Kashyapa and I, along with Savarni and Akritavrana, a disciple of Ram, learned these four divisions. O Shonaka, please hear with attention the characteristics of a Purana, which have been defined by the most eminent learned Brahmins in accordance with Vedic literature. O Brahman, authorities on the matter understand a Purana to contain 10 characteristic topics. The creation of this universe, the subsequent creation of worlds and beings, the maintenance of all living beings, their sustenance, the rule of various manus, the dynasties of great kings, the activities of such kings, annihilation, motivation, and the supreme shelter. Other scholars state that the great Puranas deal with these 10 topics, while lesser Puranas may deal with 5. From the agitation of the original modes within the unmanifest material nature, the Mahatattva arises. From the Mahatattva comes the element false ego, which divides into 3 aspects. This threefold false ego further manifests as the subtle forms of perception, as the senses, and as the gross sense objects. The generation of all these is called creation. The secondary creation, which exists by the mercy of the Lord, is the manifest amalgamation of the desires of the living entities. Just as a seed produces additional seeds, activities that promote material desires in the performer produce moving and non-moving life forms. Vritti means the process of sustenance by which the moving beings live upon the non-moving. For a human, vritti specifically means acting for one's livelihood in a manner suited to his personal nature. Such action may be carried out either in pursuit of selfish desire or in accordance with the law of God. In each age, the infallible Lord appears in this world among the animals, human beings, sages, and demigods. By his activities in these incarnations, he protects the universe and kills the enemies of Vedic culture. In each reign of Manu, six types of personalities appear as manifestations of Lord Hari. The ruling Manu, the chief demigods, the sons of Manu, Indra, the great sages, and the partial incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dynasties are lines of kings originating with Lord Brahma and extending continuously through past, present, and future. The accounts of such dynasties, especially of their most prominent members, constitute the subject of dynastic history. There are four types of cosmic annihilation: occasional, elemental, continuous, and ultimate, all of which are affected by the inherent potency of the Supreme Lord. Learned scholars have designated this topic as dissolution. Out of ignorance, the living being performs material activities and thereby becomes, in one sense, the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. Some authorities call the living being the personality underlying the material creation, while others say he is the unmanifest self. The Supreme Absolute Truth is present throughout all the stages of awareness, waking consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep, throughout all the phenomena manifested by the illusory energy, and within the functions of all living entities. And he also exists separate from all these. Thus situated in his own transcendence, he is the ultimate and unique shelter. Although a material object may assume various forms and names, its essential ingredient is always present as the basis of its existence. Similarly, both conjointly and separately, the Supreme Absolute Truth is always present with the created material body throughout its phases of existence, beginning with conception and ending with death. Either automatically or because of one's regulated spiritual practice, one's mind may stop functioning on the material platform of waking consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep. Then one understands the Supreme Soul and withdraws from material endeavor. Sages expert in ancient histories have declared that the Puranas, according to their various characteristics, can be divided into 18 major Puranas and 18 secondary Puranas. The 18 major Puranas are the Brahma, Padma, Vishnu, Shiva, Linga, Garuda, Narada, Bhagavat, Agni, Skanda, Bhavishya, Brahmavaivarta, Markandeya, Vamana, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, and Brahmanda Puranas. I have thoroughly described to you, O Brahman, the expansion of the branches of the Vedas by the great sage Vyasadeva, his disciples, and the disciples of his disciples. One who listens to this narration will increase in spiritual strength. Thus ends the 7th chapter of the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Puranic Literatures.